This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This happens completely out of view of fans and even media. But your favorite football team began, for all intents and purposes, whatever it is that it hopes to achieve in 2024 yesterday. Good morning to you. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. It's off-season workouts. It's not anything that's super formal. It's not anything that's out on the field and learning plays and diagrams and running from X's to O's or anything like that. The players get together. They congregate. They get to know their new coaches. They get to know each other. And yeah, of course, there's some strategy that has to begin getting installed, in particular on the offensive side, having a new coordinator in Arthur Smith. And it's really important. It's not exciting, certainly not to anybody on the outside, including me. But when you talk to the players about this, former players, current players, whatever it is, they'll tell you that this is where the team building begins. And the team building takes place, by and large, without the assistance of coaches. This is about players getting to know each other, getting to trust each other, not just as teammates, but as humans. There's no sport like this in this regard. There's no sport where this sort of thing is required. I'm not going to name names here, and I'm not even going to name sports, okay? But there are some where the players don't even really get to know each other, like, at all. I swear there are some that I've covered where they don't even get to know players' names. And I don't mean players who are like 10th down on the depth chart at a given position. I'm talking about people who would actually be on your active roster. They're not rude to them. They're not giving them the cold shoulder necessarily. I'm just saying that there isn't that sort of bonding that's seen as required the way it is in the great game of football. And you might think that this is an area where Mike Tomlin would be involved, famously known as a player's coach, often derisively referred to as a player's coach. He's neither at this time of year. He stays out of it. From everything I've ever heard, he stays out of it. He wants those players to feel welcome. He's aware of who the most important guys are who've come in. I'm sure he's going to have a special smile and hello for a Russell Wilson, for a Justin Fields, for a Patrick Queen as they pass through the hallways. But he'll operate in a little bit more of an understated way. I was mentioning earlier this week on this program that Brett Kiesel and Troy Polamalu are in town, and they've been doing some stuff with Russell Wilson, with Spencer Anderson, the seventh-round offensive lineman from last year's draft. And there could not be two better people to have involved in this process, even if it's just passively, than Troy and the Beard. And that's great because you do want somebody in that environment who you look at and say, whoa, there's a stealer. And then to listen to them and to hear them talk to you about what it means to be a stealer, what it meant to them to be a stealer. All of that stuff works together. You know what's funny? Every year, we will offer each other predictions. We're going to say, oh, this looks like a team that's going to go, I don't know, 10-7, 11-6. Nah, they're going to be a disaster. This is going to be an 8-9. Tomlin's first losing season and everything else. And we get into these things and we do it almost entirely based on what we see on paper, meaning what we see on that roster and the most recent achievements of the individuals on that roster. And by the time the season ends, they were 10-7. In 2023, they were 10-7. They didn't get any decent quarterback play until the final month of the season. And they were 10-7. They couldn't score touchdowns to save their lives early on. They had some really significant injuries to their defense. They ended up 10-7. And along the way, although you would hear occasionally this or that, especially whenever things got all hot regarding Matt Canada, the players stick together. There's not a finger pointing. There's little things that get shared with people like me about how, you know, there's something they like about playing with this quarterback instead of that quarterback, but it's never anything that's nasty or over the top or would lead you to believe that there's some sort of underwriting negativity in the environment. And as much credit as Tomlin tends to get for that, and I'll give him his fair share myself, to me, it's more about these sessions. It's more about these bonding settings. And then from there, take that to another level once they get out to St. Vincent College and they're all staying in the same dorms. So apologies today for the lack of, you know, real visceral hard-hitting substance. I promise to get back to that tomorrow when we're going to be a week out from the first round of the NFL draft. But this is just such a big thing to the people who actually live it that I'd feel remiss if I didn't share it with you. When we come back, J1Q.
This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's J1Q comes from Garrett, who asks, DK, what if the plan on the offensive line is to move Broderick Jones to left tackle and to tell Dan Moore, hey, you either learn to play right tackle and beat out Spencer Anderson, or you sit out on the bench? Nothing against Moore, but I kind of hope that's the approach competition usually brings the best out in people. Garrett, I couldn't agree more strongly with the last thing you said and could not disagree more strongly with everything else. Respectfully, the plan is to start here to move Jones to left tackle. Omar Khan essentially confirmed that by saying that he's going to end up there. The Steelers do not have a design in which they're going to leave Jones at right tackle. They see him as being valuable enough in everything that he does that he should be placed at the most valuable and most critical position on the line. Good. I think that should happen sooner rather than later. Like, I think that should happen, I don't know, yesterday when he walked through the door for phase one of workouts. How about that? More moving to right tackle and everything else that goes with that, I think is going to end up being determined by the draft in a week. So going too far with any sort of guesswork or speculation is probably something that's going to be a waste of both of our time instead of just waiting out to see how the draft plays out. It's really looking like they're going to take an offensive tackle. And I don't know if that's going to be first round or second round, but with how promising these prospects are in the first round, as I've been telling you guys for a while now, any team, even ones that don't need players at the tackle positions, are going to be in excruciating pain passing some of these guys up. And in that event, Moore is a low paid, because he's on his rookie contract still, term, and he can easily be kept as a swing tackle. So now you can teach him right tackle. You can help him burnish his own value toward the future, whether it's in Pittsburgh or somewhere else. And you can do so without really carrying much of a burden cap-wise. Plus, and maybe most important in the equation, you'd have yourself a pretty decent football player, as Moore is, available to you all year long in the event of injury or performance. Or even just doing what he did this past season, which is holding the seat warm for a little while, and then Broderick comes in. You can do some of that if you end up drafting another tackle. You saw Broderick didn't get onto the field right away. But all that said, dude, my dude, Spencer Anderson, where is this coming from? You should see the J1Q list that I have. And I try to keep them, you know, fresh, make sure that the most recent ones are in there and they always get priority. And I also try to make sure that we're not just taking the same subjects all the time. But there are a lot of them. And all of a sudden, over the past 2-3 days, all these Spencer Anderson questions are coming in. And there's no way that it's a coincidence that he was seen in a photograph with Russell Wilson and his wife and Troy and Kiesel and everything. And the thought process, it seems like, among some of the fans, whoever it was that responded, is that this has elevated Anderson to some new heights within the organization. Dude couldn't get on the field. I don't have anything against seventh rounders. Kiesel was a seventh rounder. Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, they were sixth rounders. Vince Williams was a sixth rounder. I did nothing against late round picks. I hope Corey Trice Jr. makes an impact this season on the defense. He was a seventh rounder. But not only did they not have Anderson getting onto the field, but they made a decision last summer in Latrobe to have him perform at all five positions on the line. Now, there's a difference between saying we want you to enhance your value and saying that your only chance of being on our roster is if you're so versatile that we keep you as a backup at every position. Please don't get distracted from the actual football decisions that are occurring. I'm not burying Anderson. I hope he does great. Really, really good kid. But it's funny how that stuff works. I mean, it was a photograph. And it could just be that him and Russ hit it off and they were over at the facility and they're like, hey, who wants to go to a hockey game? And Spencer Anderson puts his hand up and, yeah, let's take Spencer Anderson along. That'll really throw him for a curve. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow. And I promise, again, it'll be way more substantive than the thing I offered you at the beginning of this one.